Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This morning's scripture will be found in Philippians 4, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You may be seated.
Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we'll be there in just a moment. Luke chapter 8. We sang a great song just now, Living by Faith. It made me think about myself and wonder, do we really believe the words that we just sang? I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I want to talk to us this morning about overcoming worry and anxiety. It seems that so many of us are struggling and sometimes overcome with worry and anxiety in our lives, and I'm no different than you. I have struggled with worry, with anxieties in my life, sometimes mightily, as you have. And so the sermon is for me as well as for you, and I hope that together we can go to the Word of God and find that He has not left us alone in this struggle. He has not left us alone in it. In fact, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, and He has promised us to give us His peace, to multiply peace to us. But in order to lay hold of those blessings, we have to be living by faith and trusting in the promises of God. Do we trust in the promises that He's made? And so I want to look this morning at the danger that anxiety, if it's left to go on in our lives, the danger that it poses to us spiritually. And then look at the promises of God and encourage us to lay hold of those promises by faith. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus, in part of this chapter, is telling the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils. And many of you are very familiar with this passage. And you know the sower, he goes out to cast his seed, and the seed is the Word of God, as you know, and the seed lands on different soils, and the soils are the conditions of men's hearts. But I just want to look at one verse that pertains to our sermon, our lesson this morning. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. You know, some of the seed fell by the road, some fell on rocky ground. But look at 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Did you see what our Lord said? Choked by worries. The seed which fell among the thorns is the seed that is choked by worries. We need to understand and see that worry, if left to go unchecked, if left to go go on and continue in our lives, it will choke the life out of us spiritually. Worry is like a thorny plant that springs up and will choke anything that God is trying to plant in our lives and in our heart. It's that serious. It will just choke the life right out of us. And so we bear no fruit. And we know that Jesus said the tree that bears no fruit will eventually be cut down. And yes, we all have these moments of worry, this emotion that wells up in our heart. It's common to all of us. It's a human emotion. But the key is that we cannot stay in that state of mind, or it will destroy us. And so what do we do about it? How do we overcome? Worry, it hardly needs a definition, does it? The definition of the word is to have a distracting care. The word literally means to have your mind drawn in multiple directions. You know that feeling, don't you? You're distracted by your worries and your cares. You can't seem to focus your mind on anything but your worries and the things that are going on in your life. And it feels like your mind is just being pulled in different directions. And we lie in our bed at night and we toss and we turn and we think, what if this happens or what if that happens? We play the worst case scenarios out in our minds and we can't sleep. Does this sound familiar to you? It does to me. We worry and we fret. And this is why worry is so dangerous to us spiritually, because while we're tossing and turning, while we're worrying, our mind is completely focused on that and is distracted from the things of the Lord, from His promises. And we end up placing worry and anxiety on the throne of our heart rather than placing the Lord there. Worry and anxiety begins to call the shots in our lives rather than the Lord calling the shots in our lives. So worry has a very distracting effect on us. It blinds the heart. It makes us make poor decisions spiritually. Let me show you an example of this. Turn over to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Luke 10, 38. We read that, "Now as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word." I want you to notice what Mary is doing in verse 39. Mary is seated at the Lord's feet. She's listening to the Lord as he teaches. Mary has the right focus. But look at Martha in verse 40. "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things.'" You see what Martha was in verse 40? Martha was distracted. Distracted because of her cares and her worries that were ruling her heart. Martha was distracted with all her preparations. I can almost picture Martha. She's flitting around the house. She's setting the table. She's making sure everything is right. The meal is ready. Everyone's comfortable. And these things in and of themselves are a good thing. It's good to be hospitable. It's good to be busy. It's good to welcome people into your home. But I can almost hear Martha's heart, because I'm a lot like her in some ways, what if people hear that Jesus was here and the food wasn't just right? What if people hear that Jesus was in our house and the house was a little bit dirty? And she's worried and she's distracted. And look what it caused Martha to do. She has traded in sitting at the feet of the Lord and listening to his words. The Lord of the universe is in her house and is teaching. And she's more concerned about the physical food than the spiritual food that Jesus is trying to provide. Do you see how worry has a distracting effect on us? We're a lot like Martha in many ways and at times in our lives. Martha came up to him and was distracted. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. Mary, why are you just sitting there? Mary, help me. Lord, tell Mary to help me." But look at the Lord's response in verse 41. "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are so worried and bothered about so many things.'" The Lord deeply cared for these women, and he gently rebukes Martha, just corrects her thinking. "Martha, you're so worried and bothered about so many things." Can you relate to that? We are worried and bothered about so many things in our lives. So much going on, so much busyness. It seems to me that, at least in my life, that we bring a lot of the worry and anxiety upon ourselves. We're overscheduled, we're over busy, we're involved in things that maybe we should have let go. We're busy, 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 stressed out to the max. And how can we expect to ever overcome anxiety if we keep placing the thing that makes us stumble right in front of us? Have we forgotten? Have I forgotten about being still? Be still and know that I am God. Have we forgotten about the example of Jesus, who would go off, even though he was extremely busy? People pressing upon him, people with needs, all the teaching that he did, yet he would make time purposefully to go to the mountain, to be alone, and to pray. I think Jesus knew all about anxiety, and he never succumbed to it. But have we forgotten the time to be still, the time to recharge and refresh? And sometimes we can't overcome our anxiety because we're just too busy and we don't think of these things. Notice what Jesus also says to Martha. "You are so worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary." What an amazing statement. Only one thing is necessary. If we could grasp on to that, and if we could get it into our minds and our hearts that only one thing is necessary in life, well, how could that be possible? Only one thing is necessary. Well, what is that one thing? If we could grasp a hold of that one thing, many of our worries and cares and distractions would melt away because we're only focused on that one thing. Well, hold on to that thought. We'll talk about what that one thing is toward the end of the sermon. This is very powerful. This is very life-changing. So hold on to that thought. So I mentioned that many times we bring worry upon ourselves because of our extreme busyness and our stressed-out lives and our refusal to slow down. But how do we overcome anxiety when it's things that are out of our control? How do we overcome anxiety when we're faced with heart-wrenching, terrible things in this life? Illness, or maybe even worse, illness in a loved one. The loss of a loved one. Maybe I lost my job and I'm worried about feeding my family. And these things were not in my control. Can we overcome worry and anxiety then? Has the Lord left us alone in that? Or does he have answers for us? Turn over now to what Josh read a moment ago, to Philippians chapter 4. How can we overcome when it's so difficult? And by the way, the Lord knows that it's difficult for us. The Lord knows. Look at verse 6 of Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Is that even possible? This is a command of our Lord here. Be anxious for nothing. Not for your job, not for the economy, not for the work of the Lord, not for anything. Not for your health. Be anxious for nothing. How can I do that? Lord, help us to do that. This is a command of God. This is what He wants us to do. How can we do it? Be anxious for nothing, verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This is the beginning of the answer for us. This is how we overcome worry. God says, would you come to me in prayer? That's the first step. And sometimes I think we look at this and we're a little bit like Naaman the leper. And we say, surely there's more to it than that. I mean, surely there's something else that needs to be done. I mean, just pray, that's the answer. Have we forgotten that God works powerfully through prayer? So when you're weighed down with worries and cares and it's just bending you over, would you come and stand before the Lord and come before His glorious throne and stand before Him in full assurance of faith, knowing that He cares for us, knowing that He will help us? And would you come before Him and lay your anxieties and cast them at His feet? He says, I care for you. I will help you. So would you lay your anxieties down before Him and say, Lord, I am struggling. Help me to overcome this worry and anxiety. Would you, as the verse says, lay your supplications and requests at His feet? Tell Him the things that you need. Tell Him the things that you want. That's what the Lord is asking us to do. Come before me, the little things or the big things. Come before me and tell me those things that are bothering you. Lay them at my feet and with thanksgiving. I think this is one of the main keys here, that when we go before God in prayer, that we do so with thanksgiving. As bad as things can be in our lives, we still come before Him and say, Lord, You have been so good to me and I thank You for all the blessings You have given me. I'm struggling right now. But I know that You care about me and You have blessed me beyond measure. And to come before Him in the light of His glory in prayer and to thank Him for all the things He's done, don't you think that will help us to overcome the anxiety that we're feeling? The second thing that we need to do, look at verse 7. Before we get to that second thing, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the result of going to Him in prayer, of laying your anxieties before Him, of thanking Him? The peace of God. Peace. Isn't that what we need? That's what God is promising us, is peace. Peace, He says, that surpasses all comprehension. A peace that is so great that it can't even really be comprehended. That's what the Lord is offering to us today. A peace that is so great, and God says in verse 7, that He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is telling us, I will stand over your heart and over your mind like a sentry, and I will guard your heart. I will keep the anxious thoughts out. I will give you my peace. This is not a peace that is available to the world, by the way. This is a peace that only comes to those who are in Christ. It's not a peace that comes from within ourselves. It's a peace that only God can bestow. And who does He bestow it upon? Those who come to Him in faith and believe in His promises. I will give you my peace. I will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I believe that sometimes we look at passages like this and say, well, we may not say it, but we might think it. That's nice. It's very poetic and all. But let's get to the real answers. Do we trust God? Has God ever gone back on a promise? Has he ever not delivered on what he said he would do? And here he is offering us his peace. And many times we're off looking for the next thing. What does the world say about it? What does the latest self-help book tell me? What is the latest science on this issue? What's the latest gimmick that the world can provide? Oh, this is nice and all, but let me get on to the real answers. God is giving us his answers here. Do we believe him? Do we trust him? The peace of God, verse 7, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Here's the second part of the answer. What are you fixing your mind on? The Lord is telling us, I want you to dwell, I want you to fix your mind on these things of God, things that are true and right and honorable and so forth. The effect of worry, again, it's a distracting care. It pulls your mind in different directions. And so the Lord tells us you need to refocus your mind. You need to set your mind on the things above. Whatever is true, let's just take that one as an example. Whatever is true, we begin to worry. We play the what if game. What if this happens? We look at the worst case scenarios when we're anxious. Would you focus your mind on what is true? On what is, in other words, what is really real? The promises of God? His promise that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, his promise that I will give you what you need, I will provide you with my peace. Would you focus your mind on those things? And this is not easy sometimes because we're so plagued with worry, we may need to reset our mind and our heart many times a day. But the danger is, and I've seen this in myself, I've seen it in other brothers, sisters. Well, I tried this and it doesn't work. You know, I did pray and I didn't feel anything. This is not some magical incantation. This is not just some empty ritual, just some words that we utter. It's coming and standing before the Almighty God in his presence to ask for his help. It's not just akin to a lucky rabbit's foot that I'll try this and if it doesn't work, I'll try something else. And we're double-minded. We're looking in all directions to find peace, to find help. And the God is saying, I have your answer right here. If you will just trust me. If you will just trust me, I will give you my peace. If you will fix your mind on these things, I will give you my peace. Look at verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Look at the end of that verse. The God of peace will be with you. He will give you his peace that passes all comprehension. You think about the circumstances of the writing of this letter. Do you think Paul knew something about battling with worry? You look back in Acts chapter 16 when Paul was with the church at Philippi, and you remember the angry mob that turned against him? And they came after him, and the officials arrested him, and they beat him savagely and threw him into prison along with Silas. Fastened their feet in the stocks in the inner prison. Do you think Paul knew something about anxiety? And where do we find Paul and Silas along about midnight? What are they doing? They're praying. They're singing hymns to God. How do you have that kind of peace in that situation? Well, Paul and Silas are doing exactly what the Lord has told us here. They're praying to God. They're setting their minds on the right things by singing hymns to God, and they found the peace of God. And don't you think that the Philippian brethren, you know, Lydia, Clement, the jailer, Euodia, Syntyche, don't you think that they heard about this and saw this and thought, how do I have that kind of peace in my life? I mean, the things that Paul went through would reduce me and maybe you to just a quivering mess. And yet he found peace in spite of it all. And I believe this is what Paul is saying to them in verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, you know, the gospel, the promises of God, but not only that, what you've seen in me and how I have dealt with this. Would you not only think upon these things, but would you practice these things? Would you do what you know is right? Would you make a proper response to the Word of God? And he says, the peace of God will be with you. I hope we can see this morning that the Lord has the answers for us. He has the answers for me. Do we trust Him? Will we take hold of His promises? Will we come to Him in prayer? Will we set our minds on the right things? And will we practice the things that we know to be true? I want to close this morning with a look at Matthew chapter 6, a passage you're very familiar with. Jesus talks to us in Matthew 6 about the cure for anxiety. You're very familiar with this, but I want you to hear it again with the eyes of your heart and the promises that Jesus is making to us. Will you latch on to His promises in faith? Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. I can picture Jesus teaching. Look at the birds. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's a great question. Are you not worth much more than they? If God will take care of the birds of the air, will He not take care of us? Jesus didn't give His life for birds. Jesus cares deeply about us, and He says, I will provide for you what you need. Don't worry about these things. And verse 27, who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Worry doesn't change anything, does it? We can't even do a little thing like add an hour to our lives. It doesn't change anything. In fact, it makes things much worse and much more cloudy. Verse 28, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith. That stings a little bit, doesn't it? You of little faith. That is the root cause of our worries and anxieties, and I'm in the same boat with you. That is the root cause of my anxiety and worry, is that we have little faith. Do we believe that God is able to help us? Do we believe that God is willing to help us? Will we trust Him? Will we live by faith? Look at verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you remember what Jesus told Martha? You're so worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. What is the one thing? I think we have it here in verse 33. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. In other words, if you will seek me, if you will hold on to me and make that your number one priority, I will take care of everything else. All of these things will be added to you. So don't worry about your life. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I hope that we can see what the Lord has promised us today. I want to close with one verse that I think beautifully sums up the entire message. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace is what the Lord is offering. Will you take hold of it today?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.